listen to your customers. And if you're not secure about it, back it with data. I think if you combine data and the feedback from your users, you can create good hypotheses and really do something about it, test it, and see if it works.
Welcome to Mobile Growth in Pancakes, a podcast by Stormhaven. We break down how and why mobile apps grow. In each episode, we invite a mobile growth expert onto the show to break down a specific mobile growth strategy, how it worked, why it worked, and what they would do differently. I'm your host, Esther Schatz.
Welcome to Mobile Growth and Podcasts. I'm joined today by Victor Seca, dialing in from Brazil. Victor, can you take a few minutes to introduce yourself?
Hi, Esther. It's great to be here. My name is Victor. I'm from Brazil. And I work with growth marketing right now. I've been working with OLX, which is a C2C marketplace. It's kind of like a classified website. And we are mostly mobile users. Right now, I'm joining another part of our business, which is a real estate vertical. And we have a big challenge in growing our mobile user base in this kind of vertical. So it's going to be interesting to talk about growth and to talk about CLM, which is the subject why we are here. With you a little bit further.
All right, awesome. So when you say it's the growth in mobile, are you primarily a web-based platform, or are you really starting in the mobile world and looking to conquer from there?
With OLX, we are 60% of our user base is app, so we're kind of app first. On our vertical, real estate vertical. Most of our users are web users, so we have a big challenge in bringing them to the app platform. So the challenge in mobile growth there will be interesting because it's different than a classified where there are multiple categories, and a user can navigate through many of them. So it's not likely that he will like sell one thing or buy one thing and uninstall. Has a lot of other options there. But when we think about real estate, maybe the person will like find their new home and move out and that's it, they can uninstall the app. So the lifetime that we have with these users is not long. So how do we keep them engaged? How do we increase their lifetime value? These are very interesting subjects. That's a challenge for us right now, but it's something we have to do.
That's super interesting. Yeah, I'd imagine you don't have that many people who are buying, properties about once a month and kind of going through place by place. If only. Okay, so let's talk for a minute. You mentioned CLM at the beginning Customer lifecycle management. Can you define that a bit further? What does that actually mean?
Yeah, before we discuss CLM, it's similar to CRM, right? But I think CRM, there's something bad about it. Like it's basically transactional conversation, like welcome and then the end of the month, pay your bills. So the difference that I like to see in CLM is we do not only do transactional conversation with the user. The idea is to follow the life cycle of the user, follow all the path, all the touch points that we have with each user to really know what he's interested in, everything that he's doing, all of his problems and difficulties. So we can personalize our communication to better suit those users. So the idea basically in the end is how can we bring down barriers that are blocking him to go further on the conversion funnel to make his experience seamless, easier. And in the end, of course, the business idea is the conversion and the retention. So we believe that through better experience, we'll have better conversion and better retention.
So how do you let's talk about the life cycle for a minute. And I guess when it comes to the real estate side, we'll put a benchmark in that and come back to it, because you do have this huge challenge of it's kind of a one-time sort of interaction in a way that mostly you wouldn't be in consumer apps, where you're hoping that you create a sticky experience. But how do you kind of, you know, life cycle, if somebody's using your product for 5 years, are you continuing this project all the way throughout? Is there an end date? Do you have, how deep do you go? How far do you take it? Where's the line where you say, okay, we've satisfied the customer, or, you know, is it ongoing forevermore as long as they're in the system?
Yeah, in this real estate business, we're just getting started with building the idea of the CLM communication. So we're not far ahead on knowing how far we're going with continuing the communication with these users. So it's going to be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. We don't know yet. We're building it. And it differs from business to business. Probably on real estate, it will be farther than it is on the classifieds business. And maybe with a bigger window gap between the last time that he came to the next time that he'll come back, right? Because like, if you're renting a new place, maybe in about 2-3 years, you're gonna want to rent another place to move again. And that could be a good window for us to start again a conversation with you. But there's, what I like to think about it is there's also not only the act of renting or buying a place, but there are other things that we can connect with it and interact further with the user. Like this person, he's going to need services because he's moving out. He will need to paint his house. He'll need electric services. He'll need transportation to move his furniture. He will maybe be interested in decoration tips. He may be interested in financing. How he can ask for money to purchase his new apartment. And so there are other things around buying or selling or renting a place that we can bring to this, to the conversation with these users so we can extend the period that of time we're talking to them. So not only, hi, you're starting to look for a place, we'll show you a few other options, because this is very basic. This is basically what every website or app is doing, sending you recommendations. We want to go further. We want to really be helpful to you and really know what you will need during this journey of looking for and after moving out your place to a new place.
So I'm interested. Talk me through the process for a minute, because it sounds like there's a proactive and a reactive side, right? Which is you're trying to look at what the user's doing and thinking about how can you communicate based on what they're actually doing. But it sounds like you also have a lot of planning that comes beforehand. You have to hypothesize what might be relevant to a user. How do you kick this off? How do you take, you're at the beginning now. So how much of it comes from, okay, here's our theory of where the life cycle goes and we just put it in action, and how much of it is actually observing what happens and then trying to build it from there?
Yeah, I like to think it's a combination of hearing the user, hearing the feedbacks that they give us with data, because with data we can know how many people are coming in, how many people are going to the next step and the next step, so we can know, maybe the data shows us that here, there's a problem. People are bouncing. They are going out. So let's go deeper into this part of the journey and try to understand what is going on and how we can help them. So feedback, data, and of course, A/B testing all the time. So we create hypotheses based on feedback and data. We try and implement creating communications. And we see if it's working or not. And one thing that I especially like to do is usually with performance marketing, we track things with a last click or any sort of other attribution model. But I like to compare, always use control groups to compare the conversions. So this way, I'll separate. This is a segment of people that I want to send this communication to, because it makes sense based on my hypothesis. And a part of these people, I won't send the communication. And later on, I will compare the conversion rates, how many of them came back to that part of the journey and really went through that step. And this way I can see how incremental I'm being if I really generate lifts in conversions. So that helped me really ensure that I'm making a difference. Like it's not something that the user was going to do anyway. If you do a lost card communication, and this is something a lot of e-commerces do, and it's very common and it's useful, it really works, but usually the lifts are not that high because many people would naturally come back to that and finish their purchase. So if you could like cut down the number of messages that you're sending to a lot of people that would naturally do that, you will save money. And you will be much more incremental because you would only send that communication to those ones that wouldn't come back organically.
Interesting. I think that's critical. And I think it's something that also is incredibly challenging when it comes to performance marketing. You're so used to that real-time measurement. You're so used to kind of, these are my click rates. These are my action rates. I'd love to drill into this a bit further, especially when it comes to this incrementality of being able to say it's not about the actual metric. It's about what was the improvement that I've made. How do you tackle, how do you take, is it a matter of pre-post? How do you kind of separate out that desire to say, I sent this email campaign and I got this much out? How do you create practically, how do you go through and create the right control group when you're assessing what impact you've had?
We do it all right now through SQL programming, so it's all automatic, but we build it all internally, and after we write a query where we can set the target. What are the attributes that say these are the people that we want to target, and our system automatically chooses randomly like a percentage of them, and they separate them, and the other goes to the dispatch, so they will receive the message and the others won't, and in the end, like the next day, I don't know, we can compare conversion rates between those groups and see how incremental they were. Of course, we can compare in more real-time vision the conversions of those groups that received the communication. But later on, we will compare against the control group and see if really was incremental.
Amazing. Could you share a concrete example? I know you just started on the real estate side, but from OLX before. How does this work in action? What's something that actually went into place when it comes to kind of optimizing the life cycle?
Yeah, sure. I can give you an example, but I think I like to think before of the overall impact. Like back in 2016 or 17, in Brazil, push notifications were not so well used by other apps. And we saw an opportunity there, and we started this whole project just with email communication and push notifications. Right now, we want to go further and be. It's important to be where the user is. So, in Brazil, WhatsApp is the biggest communication tool. So, if you want to get in touch with your user, you want to be where they are. You want to connect your whole ecosystem of communications with the tools that they also use. But back then we used only WhatsApp and only push notifications and email, and push notifications were like the best tool that we had for increasing traffic and especially app traffic. once we got started, we first did a lot of work on our database. So we created a huge database where we concentrated all the information that we knew from each customer and a few others where we knew everything they were doing. Of course, we don't see it one by one. It wouldn't even be nice for GDPR's reasons, right? But
also for, you know, having a life of not having to analyze.
Yeah, true. Because we have like 50 million traffic monthly, so it would be crazy to see one by one. Yeah, but at the end of the day, the idea is to send communications that feel personal, feel personalized, made especially for you. Even though we're doing it in a huge number, like for millions and millions of people. But when we got started, we did this whole work of getting the data right prior to starting. And when we started turning on a few communications, like since it's classified, we were talking about sending communications to sellers and buyers. So we had to create a few different segments and a few like triggers that would say, this is the moment that we know we have to send this communication to these users. And once we got started, we used to send the communications every day at 4 p.m. I don't know why I do. We saw that it was the best time people would open push notifications. So we started simple at 4 p.m. We would send the communications and we saw in the first day, we already saw a 14% increase in traffic in that specific hour. So that was very interesting for us. And like a few weeks later, we saw an increase of 28% in daily active users. The entire day.
And that was based off that same, like that was following that same push notification later down the line. You actually,
that's what it was interesting. We saw like a peak on 4 p.m. But of course some of them went out, but some of them stick. And we see the curve of daily access by hour per hour going up. So this was really interesting. We could really see an impact not only on instant access, but also on retention. And this was really interesting for our business.
It's amazing. And it probably wasn't the main KPI, I'd imagine, necessarily retention when you're setting the campaign.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a fun bonus.
Yeah, it's important to generate impacting business metrics. But our idea was really, I like to think it was pure. It was to really engage and help the users. So giving you an example, I forgot to give you an example of one of those communications. We know that something that is really important for someone that is selling something is to really sell. Otherwise, they will not have a good experience and they may not come back. They may go to another company that offers the same solution. And so we started analyzing what made people really sell. And there are more complex answers for that, but there are really simple ones. And we have started with the simple ones, like, if your ad doesn't have photos, it's really likely that you won't sell. If your description just says, I'm selling this, it won't attract people. You have to be clear regarding what you're selling. So we started by that, like telling people you don't have photos, start inserting photos and you'll get more viewers and probably a higher chance to sell. And people started noticing that the communications were made for them with really good advices that could help them. And they started like editing their ads and getting better chance of selling. And this generates good experiences and generates return. They came back more often after that. So that was the big idea behind what we were trying to do.
Interesting. So, I mean, how does the breakdown work between product and growth marketing in cases like this? Because it sounds like, you know, especially the example that you've shared just now, you know, add in images. So that's, you know, in a sense, a product feature, right? You detect that there's somebody who hasn't taken advantage of this. We build into the product to make sure it happens. How does that interplay work when it's something that, you know, there's things that are happening externally and that you're using your, you know, your kind of marketing tools and the suite available to you? And then there's the side, I'd imagine, of we need to change the product to accommodate a specific flow or to enhance a specific flow. How do you work on that balance?
Great question. Yeah, this example looks kind of transactional, but the and this team, the CLM area in our company, it began in product, but then we brought it to marketing to work closely to performance marketing, like in a growth cell. And the idea was basically performance marketing would bring people in, and we will have to make sure their experience was great to generate better retention, so it all will work better, right? I think that's it. Did I answer your question? Kind of.
So yeah. I think I think it's for me one of the things that I look at a lot, or that I'm hearing a lot, especially as we continue forward, is maybe traditionally companies have grown in very segmented ways, right? Which is you have product who are responsible for product, and you have marketing are responsible for marketing, and UA is responsible for this, and everybody has their kind of role. And then you end up getting stuck on the interplay, right? Of if everything in your growth funnel is speaking about one thing, but you don't fulfill that in the product, or the product is going in a different direction, of course you create that, you backlog yourself. So I think as a whole, the industry understands this, you know, much better today than what they did a little bit ago. And there is this concept of feedback, but there's the challenge of who gets to drive the, you know, do you accommodate your product roadmap, and does product come and say, you know, this is what we're going for. You know, there's the dream is the synergy, right? Where everybody's feeding everything.
Yeah.
I wish it was happening everywhere. Maybe it is happening, but from what I've seen, less so. There's still, it's hard. It's hard to create that.
It is.
So yeah, just but I think it's, to hear.
Yeah, but I think it's necessary. Product and marketing should work better together, because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if I'm telling people to come in if their experience is not as good when they're inside of our product as the communications that we are sending out, or if the what I'm saying to them doesn't match the path that I put them in when I bring them into the app. So it all has to work together to generate good experiences. So product and marketing have to work together. And again, another very important thing regarding CLM and performance marketing and why we brought it to marketing, even though it has kind of attributes more related to product and technology. We wanted to work better, combining better our investments with our internal communication. So why would I do like remarketing to pay to bring back someone that I could bring back?
Make sure they don't leave.
Yeah. Yeah. How we can work better together with the internal tools and external tools. So I'm not saying that we're doing a great job, but we are starting to do that. So, and I think it's going to be very interesting, because we'll save money that that we wouldn't have to be spending right now. And maybe we can keep them engaged some other way, or re-engage through internal communications before we go out and try to reach out to those people, to those users in external tools.
So So to CLM, would you say it starts when somebody actually downloads the product and begins with their usage there? Or do you begin it higher up in the funnel? Does how they come in matter and how you're, you know, kind of segmenting them and following them?
Yeah, it could begin prior to the download. Maybe if you have like a blog where you can subscribe, maybe you could start your communication there. But right now we're starting once the user downloads the app or creates the account. So we can start reaching out to them and give them all the incentives that we believe that will help them go through the experience, through the journey.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to get easier to touch higher up in the funnel once iOS 14.5 drops and you get really blocked from there. So it's a way to start. One thing I'm actually interested about, because you're looking at cross-platform, you're a cross-platform product, so it's not all happening in mobile. You have this web component. How does that tie in? I mean, do you focus on the mobile side kind of in and of itself and where we want users to come into? How do you create a life cycle that touches on those multiple platforms and that more dynamic usage?
Yeah, I think it all starts with data again. If we have on our database, everything that is going on on the app or on the website, and if we can identify those users, we can see this big picture of what all the users are doing, no matter where they are. And also, I think it's important to try to generate like a seamless experience. Like if I'm sending out emails and I don't know if the user is going to open on their mobile phones or on a desktop, I always try to deliver the best experience. And usually our best experience is on apps. So if he's opening the email on their phones and they click on the call to action and they have the app installed, this should take them to the app, because that's where they will get better experience. And even because maybe if it goes to the website, he'll then maybe have to log in, and it kind of gets in the way of a good experience. So we always try to deliver the best experience.
Do you have an example of, let's call it CLM gone wrong, where you missed the mark, you had something that just wasn't where it belonged?
Totally. Actually, we have very funny, few funny stories, but one that I really like is, and it's terrible, I like, but it's terrible, was at OLX, we also have real estate, and there someone, and we have recommendations for people that are looking for ads, so we show them similar ads. This is very basic. Everybody does it. And since it's like C2C platform, everybody can sell anything, almost anything. And someone decided to sell a place in the cemetery. And for some reason, they put it into the real estate category. Like,
kind of a residence, I guess.
Yeah. And we ended up recommending that to another person that was looking for a real estate around that area and in similar prices. And he ended up receiving a message that said, we found your future home. And once he clicked in, he saw the cemetery, and he was really scared.
And you saved screenshots of that, like
I don't have it, but yeah, we got to know this story through our CX team, and they told us, "What are you doing? How are you recommending cemetery to other people?" After
that, messaging of your future, your future.
Yeah,
home.
The message feed perfectly. So yeah, it was terrible, but it's really funny. After that, we created a few filters to avoid similar things. But I think that's part of growth, right? We try to do things in an easier way, see if it works. And when we find out any problems or opportunities to get better results, we start tweaking to until it gets even better and better.
That's amazing. But I guess, yeah, that's something you know, that you have to consider when you're in C2C, is that you control the side of what you're surfacing when you're surfacing, but you don't control, you can't comb through the content on that manual level of you know, I'm handpicking everything that you can't do it. So it is, you know, in a sense, there's that risk side, right? Because you're enabling your customers to do what they need to do. And you have to make sure that you're matching your efforts to something that you have to be blind to some capacity.
For sure. Yeah. Maybe in a near future with machine learning, we can do a better job avoiding that prior to having such a case.
To basically giving a death threat to customers.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And the funny thing is, we are trying to give better experiences, and we ended up generating such experience. But yeah, I think it's part of the job. And we have to, in the end, the most important thing is that we act fast and fixed when we get it wrong.
Yeah. So I guess my last kind of question here is, when it comes to KPIs that you're looking at for CLM, I'm sure it varies because obviously where it's coming in the funnel will shift, but what kind of KPIs are you using to measure your success, and what are your indicators that you need to respond and update something and fix something?
Yeah, there are multiple levels. Like we see how much the users are interacting. So we have like RFM models, like recency, frequency, and monetary value. And it helps us understand how much a user is engaged with our platform, or if he's getting less engaged, and it all helps us set how much we should or shouldn't talk to them. And for which reasons. But after sending really the messages, we keep track of how many people are really receiving it. Maybe if we have problems with delivery rates, we should look into it. Maybe we don't have like the most updated the token device of their devices. The click rates, the conversion rates, and as I already said, the uplifts, like comparing with the control groups to see the incremental conversions that we're bringing. So the uplift.
I'm going to say it again, just because I think it is so important to have that control group. And I think it's missed a lot, because you're looking at your effort, and it makes sense because those are metrics that are coming through. But you have to assume that some of these users, at least naturally, were going to come back and take their action. And what have you spent acquiring them when they were coming in anyway? That's, I think, I'm telling everyone who's listening now that's a, you know, kind of something critical to keep in mind for sure. Are you ready for the quick fire round now, Victor?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right. If you could give just one tip to an aspiring growth marketer, what would it be?
I think listen to your customers. I think it's crucial to listen to your customers, and if you're not secure about it, back it with data. I think if you combine data and the feedback from your users, you can create good hypotheses and really do something about it, test it, and see if it works.
All right, your favorite mobile growth resource.
Yeah. Oh, okay. My favorite mobile growth resource. I would say Benchmark. Since OLX is part of a huge group, two huge groups, Process and Adevinta, we have lots of other companies around the world, and most times that I get in touch with them, they already did what I'm trying to do. So it's easier and you avoid a lot of time, wasting time and effort on doing something to find out an answer that they already have. So benchmarking is one of my favorite tools.
That is, I think that's actually the first time that that I've heard that as a response.
Really?
It's a good one. Yeah. Why invent the wheel if somebody's already already put it forward? Okay. I'm flashing forward to when Brazil has vaccine rollout at the, you know, the percentages that let you go and be normal again. Who's the person, or wherever in the world you can travel? It doesn't, I don't want to restrict you to just one place, but who's the person in the industry that you'd most want to take out for lunch and why?
Wow. I think in the world, I would say the one of the founders of Netflix, Reed Hastings. I was recently reading his book, and it's amazing, not because of the communication, which is what I work with, but because of the experience that the product has. I think it's amazing how they created a product with such easy user experience, and yeah, I think I would really love to talk about it with Reed.
Amazing. All right, the most important question. What is your favorite type of pancake?
Wow, okay. My family is from France, even though I am Brazilian. My family is from France, so I would say crepes. And I would love to say crepe Suzette. But it's not. What I really love is like a regular crepe with a sugar on it, and that's it. That was my favorite. My favorite thing my grandfather used to do for me when I was a little kid, and that's how I would eat, and brings me a lot of good memories.
That's a great answer. I also like that you had an aspirational favorite and then the real actual. It's a good answer. Victor, this was amazing. Where can people find you if they want to hear more or learn more about what you're doing?
Okay. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. My name is Victor Seca. You can find me there. Head of mobile growth, marketing for Zappi Movies, which is the real estate company that OLX just acquired, and that I've been talking about here with you.
Amazing. And if I ever look for a place in Brazil, I'll make you give me the best tips. Victor, thank you so much for joining and for sharing. This was awesome.
Thank you, Esther. It was great sharing a little bit of my experience with you.
And that was Mobile Growth and Pancakes. To find out more about StoreMaven and how we can improve App Store performance, visit storemaven.com. And then make sure to search for Mobile Growth and Pancakes in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found, and click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at StoreMaven, thanks for listening.